morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, banker, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah. Let's get it going. Time for hour two of a Friday edition of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got your host James behind the mic, joined by our producer Seth.
Hello.
And our best listeners in radio. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. We got good stuff lined up for you. We're going to get into some entertainment news here in a moment. Got some fun stuff coming up in there, including not only what's new on your small screen, your big screen, some local theater going on in the area, local events. But I also want to get into these facts about the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to
that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Got that lined up for you. We've got a good one lined up a little bit later. Where in North America are you most likely to spot Bigfoot? We will discuss. We will help you find Bigfoot, hunt him down, and all that. Well, you know, find him. All those
finding
things.
Bigfoot is the key.
Yes.
Finding Bigfoot.
Nobody's done that.
So not yet. We haven't really found him.
Get into our schedule and plenty more where that came from. Bigfoot is blurry.
That's the way he is.
It's literally blurry. It's the smartest move he's made. It's the greatest camouflage you could have. It's blurry. We dive into entertainment news, and turning toys and games into fictional properties can be very, very tricky. For every Barbie, there is the, you know, Battleship movie, or He-Man Masters of the Universe, the original back in the 80s and all that and stuff.
Oh, cult classic.
Yeah. There's a live-action series in the works, and I said, live-action series in the works based on Mattel's Magic 8-Ball. And it's being directed by M. Night Shyamalan, of course, The Sixth Sense, and you know, so many of those movies. And everything.
All right.
It was written by Brad Fulick, who is apparently Gwyneth Paltrow's husband. He's co-created Glee, American Horror Story, Scream Queens, Pose.
Oh, he's in lots of TV stuff.
Oh, and the 9-1-1 franchise. Apparently, he's behind that as well.
Wow, very successful.
According to a press release, the show will, quote, aim to reimagine the classic Magic 8-Ball as the centerpiece of a high-concept, character-driven, supernatural drama that blends psychological intensity with cultural intrigue. No word on if the 8-Ball, it's who will play the 8-Ball.
Okay. I hope it has a voice at least. That'd be kind of fun.
Yes.
Wish casting everyone. Who should be the voice of the 8-Ball?
Christopher Walken.
Oh God.
Signs point to maybe.
By the way, real quick, you open the door for me. I'm gonna charge through this right now. I just learned a couple of things about Christopher Walken as a professional, in like someone who worked with him and literally worked with him. Two real quick things. First of all, every script, everything he is on, they have to redo a script that has no punctuation in it.
Wow.
Which would make sense the way he talks.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't know where the commas are. He doesn't know where all the punctuation. He has to have a script that's no punctuation.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild? The other thing, true eccentric. This guy, I love Christopher Walken, but he's a true eccentric. So apparently he carries half-eaten apples and pickles in his pocket, and he'll just randomly pull one out and start eating it.
What?
Just on the set, he'll do it.
There's a great story. The guy who does the best Christopher Walken impression, I can't think of it. He was Usual Suspects, a couple of other movies.
You know.
What I'm talking about as soon as I'd say it.
Yeah,
but he's
telling
a story about the first time he met Christopher Walken, and he's leaving a Hollywood party, and he gets into his car, and he looks up, and there's Christopher Walken trying to, like, signal to him, and he's standing in front of the vehicle and he will not move, and he just comes around and starts talking to him about some random thing that had nothing to do with anything, and then left. And that was the first interaction with
that's Christopher Walken. That's right.
Very interesting person. I also will take H. John Benjamin as the voice of the Magic 8-Ball, voice of Bob on Bob's Burgers and Archer and all that.
Yes, that's a good choice.
Or
I like
how about Al Pacino, but like full Al Pacino, just going
the caricature of Al Pacino.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
Even better, and I'm just leading into this now, De Niro. But De Niro doing some of his best, like, you talking to me? You shake the eight ball. Will I find love? And you shake the eight ball, and it's just De Niro. You talking to me?
Yeah.
I don't see anybody else around here. You must be talking to me. Magic 8-Ball has been with us for 75 years. Wow.
Really?
And
it was that old. Wow.
We are still buying more than a million of them a year.
Wow.
They are still a big seller.
How about that? Magic 8-Ball.
How many of you had that on your board? Because I didn't.
Nope.
I would have never guessed. And if you told me they are still selling, I would have said a couple hundred maybe a year. Maybe. Maybe. Still selling millions of them.
That's got to be pure like nostalgia. I had one of these as a kid. I'm going to get my kid one of these kind of things, right?
Yep, definitely.
And they're they're fun, you know, to play around with, you know, then the kind of the novelty wears off and you put them around. But then every now and then you come back and, you know, just for fun, you'll say, will I so-and-so and see what the answer is. But
I'm sure if there already has been some versions of this, like for an app or something, but they're not nearly as popular as holding it in your hand and shaking it and wondering what's coming next.
Right. Exactly. By the way, why an 8-Ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been anything.
Anything. Yeah.
And they chose an 8-Ball. That's really interesting.
It's like Mattel had like a copyright on the game of pool. Right. And they're like, I don't know. We got the IP.
We got the 8-Ball. Let's use it. Yeah.
That's a great question. Why not like a clock or just
Like a crystal or something, like a fake crystal or something that. Anyway, I don't know.
Alex Van Halen has talked about using generative AI to complete some unfinished Van Halen music. He's been talking about this for a little while. Alex, of course, the brother of Eddie and the drummer from the original Van Halen.
Yep.
His nephew, Wolfgang, not as into this.
Ooh.
Wolfgang says, quote, Alex is free to do whatever he wants. Of course, he's obviously the proprietor of what Van Halen is and where it goes. But I think generative AI is blank stupid. I don't like it. I think it's dumb. Continuing with the conversation, he says, I think we should be using AI to put mufflers on cars, not paint paintings and make songs. It should be doing the stuff that we don't want to do or we can't do, not the creative stuff.
Okay.
Wolf also had something to say to David Lee Roth, who referred to him as a bratty kid during a recent rant. He said, quote, I've always been a punching bag. It is whatever it is. I'm a 35-year-old married man with a third album on the way. I'm not a kid. Basically, get over it, David.
Yeah, basically.
Because when David Lee Roth, for one, knew Wolfgang Van Halen, he was a kid.
Yeah, really.
Like, so
get out of here with that.
He hasn't talked to him, known him decades and everything. And just a shout out to real quickly to Mammoth and that band of Wolfgang Van Halen's, my new favorite band. I love them. They're great.
I think that if you were going to do something like that, Alex Van Halen, you should bring in Wolfgang.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's his dad. It would be a really cool, not as a like a lost Van Halen track. Don't do that. Just say it's kind of like what the Beatles have done occasionally. You know, we more recently they did. You know, it was still John recorded stuff. It's not AI assisted in bringing it, so the sound was good, but it didn't create new John Lennon vocals. It did not do that. So if you're using it to assist you on something that's been recorded, I'm cool. That's really neat. Actually, that's a really cool thing you can use it for. But replacing it with that, I don't know. It just feels weird and kind of fakey and stuff like that. I would go a different track. I really would.
When they were putting together Free as a Bird on the anthology album for the Beatles, they pulled a answering machine message from John Lennon.
Yeah.
And that's part of what you hear in the song everything. And they spliced together like a little bit of like tracks that weren't used from outtakes and things, put it all together, got a brand new song, new hit. Right. Sounds amazing. Sounds like a Beatles song that could have been made in the late 60s, early 70s, something like that.
Right.
I don't know why you couldn't do something like that. I don't know why you even need to bring AI into the conversation.
Right.
Other than to use a... So I know my dad, we get him a new tool and he would find reasons to use it. He would find excuses to just because he wanted to play with the new tool.
Sure.
That's what we're doing with AI.
You are so right.
We're having it shoved down our throats. Please call up if you wanted to use AI for anything creatively. Anything.
Yeah.
Writing an email, any of that. If you've ever even wanted it, no, it's just right there. We didn't ask for this. We're just getting it pushed on us.
Right.
And I could not agree with him more, Wolfgang, more about this. AI has its uses. AI mm-hmm. has positive uses for society that could really benefit us and help us going forward when it comes to jobs that we're not able to do, or okay, you're good at this job, but we can have AI do it, so we're going to move you over here
right.
so you can do something better
exactly.
or maybe more to your skill
something
set or something.
Something that AI cannot do, which
right.
is a lot.
It's not taking jobs. It's giving people an opportunity to do other jobs.
Exactly.
And still make a pay or whatever.
Right.
But as far as AI in the creative world, it will never, never get to the point of human abilities. Never. Mm-hmm. And if you think, oh, I don't care about actors, I don't care about musicians, okay, fine. Go ahead. You take in AI. You take it in. You and see where that gets you. See how much you... I was listening to Katie Cruz the other day, and she was playing... Because on country music right now is dealing with this. Mm. Their number one stream song is an AI-created song from an AI artist.
Ooh.
And it's doing very well. It's getting all these streams mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. And that has a shelf life. Because as yeah. soon as it, I guarantee the majority of those streams are coming from people that have no idea that's an AI. And as soon as they find out it's an AI, tell me a country music fan that wants to go to a concert and see a laptop
seriously.
Just sitting out there. Because
yeah, no.
that's the other part of this. Yeah. Where did we start our conversation today?
Yeah.
Live music.
Yeah.
That's what we love as our entertainment.
People really love it. Yeah.
How are they going to get AI to do this?
No. It's not going to work.
One of the most popular bits of entertainment that come out of the summer was that K-pop Demon Hunters. Mm-hmm. And as big as it was, as most popular as the songs were and all that, it wasn't AI-created songs.
No.
It was actual artists doing those songs. Yep. Even with animation blocking you from attaching yourself or getting into the artist, mm-hmm. it was still able to be that popular
right.
because you had real artists singing the songs.
Right.
AI will never, ever be able to get to this level. In order for AI to be able to do this, it has to be able to have a creative brain. What it has is references and things it pulls from our creative universe. Mm-hmm. It didn't create any of it. Mm-hmm. It's just pulling from things that it's already gotten. Mm-hmm. You will never get original content from AI, and
nope.
that's what people want.
Yeah, it's only because it's based on everything else that we've already done. you can say that about how music is. Because it's everything that's created by humans is based on something that came before. But the way that they use it is yeah. ways that AI could never, ever be able to do.
My concern about AI doesn't have anything to do with can it compete with us creatively. I have no doubt it can't compete with us creatively.
Right.
I'll take one of the worst songwriters in the world and he'll beat out or she'll beat out AI.
Right.
What I'm worried about is the people with money and power deciding, oh, I don't... This creative person, they're a lot to deal with.
Yeah, and they cost a lot of money.
And they cost a lot of money. Just use AI and leaning into that and seeing that and stuff. Mm. And the fear of even more than that, because people with power are always going to try to keep power and try to find ways to make more money. I'm
right.
not shocked by that. I'm not surprised by that. What
right.
I would be hurt by, what does scare me, is society being okay with it.
Mm.
Society being like, we don't care about actors or musicians or the creative universe. When this world is such an integral part of it, is the creative part of it.
Yes.
And yeah.
Think of your life without it.
Yeah.
In books, movies, TV, music. It would
so
be a
much.
Horrible life. It mm. would be very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of pretty good books about that.
Yep.
Looking what's new on your small screen, big screen, and your local theater stage. A look on TV tonight at 7 o'clock on ABC, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. Phoebe Robinson, Paul Walker Hauser, and Lizzie Koji is going to be there. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. tonight at 7 o'clock on HBO, I Know What My Dad Will Be Watching, One to One, John and Yoko, a documentary about John Lennon and Yoko Ono's first year in New York.
Oh.
Leading right up to their one-to-one benefit concerts.
Oh, really? That's cool.
One of the worst trailers for a movie I've ever seen. So this week I saw a trailer for a movie that I cannot wait to see. And it's been a while
right?
since I had one of those.
Yeah.
And then I saw a trailer this week. It may be the worst trailer I've ever seen in my life. A very Jonas Christmas movie. A holiday movie where the Jonas Brothers face a series of obstacles to get them from London to New York. If you love these movies, you're going to love this movie. Yeah, and more power to you. Enjoy your stuff. But for somebody like me, I saw this, and it was the most pandering thing I've seen in a very, very long time.
Are the Jonas Brothers okay? Are they okay right now? I'm kind of a little concerned for
them.
Do
they need the money? Because I don't think so. I do not get it. And it's one of those ones where you're watching the trailer, and you could literally write the movie right from it. Like, it's rough. But if you like it, more power to you.
Yeah,
don't let me or anybody else tell you otherwise.
Enjoy it.
I'm very excited about the streaming premiere of Nobody 2 with Bob Odenkirk. That's on Peacock tonight.
I cannot
wait. And a movie that got a lot of conversation, Edgington, Joaquin Phoenix, Pedro Pascal, that is going to be premiering tonight on Friday on Network.
All right.
I got a couple of things coming up. Of course, Saturday Night Live this weekend, Glenn Powell is hosting. Olivia Dean will be the musical guest. Glenn Powell does a good job with this stuff.
Glenn Powell and his jawline will be there.
Yes. And the 12th season finale of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
That's been on for 12 seasons?
Yeah. It's impressive.
Wow.
We'll see if
it makes show.
I'm curious to see if it gets a 13th. I believe they already have a contract in place, but it would be...
Here's hoping.
It would be HBO's loss.
Oh, absolutely. It would be their
loss.
That's
a great show.
Yeah.
And Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia versus Detroit. Oh, my God. That should be a good game.
Mm.
Oh, I can't wait for that one. Should be good. Good football.
Better than the Packer-Eagle game. Yeah. Please. Anything better than that?
Looking what's new on your big screen, just a couple of movies coming out, but this is now where we're getting movies back.
As we get into the holidays, yeah.
Right. Yep. From now to the beginning of the new year, you're going to be seeing a lot of big releases. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, rated PG-13, is going to be out. Great cast.
Several movies.
Like the third or fourth
one of them.
I saw the first one, and I didn't mind the first one, but it kind of lost me after that. But fun movies. Yep. My dad loves them. And the remake of The Running Man, starring Glenn Powell. It also stars Josh Brolin, Micah Sierra, William H. Macy, Colin Domingo. It's got a nice cast.
It does. I've already talked about, you know, last week or whenever it was, we talked about the old one and everything. I would just be curious to watch this just to see, you know, just to see what it's like, how they change it and everything like that. But I fear that if I do that, all I'm going to be doing is thinking of Richard Dawson, you know, the originals. It's not the same.
Arnold is great in every action movie he's ever been in, especially in his prime, like it was with The Running Man and a lot of those movies.
Those 80s and 90s,
I'm like you. I'll probably see it because I want to be able to compare. I just want to see what it's like. Yeah. I like Glenn Powell. I like the cast. It's a good cast. Mm-hmm. And Colin Domingo looks like he does a fantastic job in the Richard Dawson role.
The MC, yeah.
Yeah, but there's only one Richard Dawson. It was such – what made the movie hit home for people was that you had an actual game show host that people knew only as a game show host doing it.
Right.
Is great. Colin Domingo is incredible, an incredible actor. I think they should have had a game show host doing that part. I think they should have had like Drew Carey or somebody like that in that role.
That would have been because we know that they can act too. I mean, Richard Dawson was an actor before he became a game show host. He was in Hogan's Heroes, for crying out loud, right? And he could do both, though. But like you said, because he had the experience of being an actual game show host, you know, someone, Tom Bergeron, I don't care, someone that's actually a game show host.
Tom Bergeron would have been good.
He would have been excellent.
Oh, I love a dark Tom Bergeron. I like
that. That would have been good,
Ooh, I'd love to see him do that. even with all that, the movie cannot have maybe one of the greatest moments. I'll say it. One of the greatest moments in action movie history. Arnold looks at him, I'll be back. And the beat that lays there, because we all know that line and who he's referencing in a different movie.
Yeah.
How cool. And then Richard Dawson looks at him, and I guarantee you it was a one-take scene. Only in a rerun. It's such a great comeback.
So fantastic.
I get goosebumps thinking about it, man. It's such a great comeback. And I guarantee you it was done in one take.
Mm.
We'll be back with more, everybody. But I do want to remind everyone that while you got some local TV and movies coming out, you got one great great local theater as well. Mm-hmm. And our friends over at Assumption have Sister Act the Musical coming up.
Very exciting.
They had a great show last night, Her Good Things. They're back at it tonight with a 7 o'clock show. Tomorrow, the we'll have a 1 o'clock matinee and everything will wrap up with a 7 o'clock show tomorrow.
Yes.
Support local theater. Support these kids. There's never been a bad local theater production. Take it in, everybody.
First time since 2019 they've done it at Assumption, which is great that they're getting it back on, you know, on stage again. Fantastic. Big shout out to Ryan and all the kids. It's really cool.
The more people that they get, the better attendance, the more guarantee that they would be able to do this again next year.
Yep.
Support what they're doing. Have a great time and a good show.
Yep.
Take this in and find out more on stage.tickets. You can find your tickets there. Get them right there at the front desk right when you get there. We will take a time out. We'll come back and we're talking the random facts, interesting facts about Charlie Brown Thanksgiving coming up.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial...
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your splat bags on.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving, and there are some certain traditions that you have to have. You got to have some cranberries involved.
Absolutely.
Some
doesn't matter which kind. Doesn't matter. It could be the can. It could be fresh. Doesn't matter.
Got to give thanks.
Yep.
Got to, you know, especially a lot of families, of course, go around the table and give thanks.
What are you thankful for?
And I am thankful for a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Me too.
It's been 52 years since a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving was released.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
And we've probably seen it at least countless times. At least countless times.
I cannot tell you how many times I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been that long.
I am I am in my 40s, and I guarantee I've seen it over 40 times.
Okay.
At least. At least. Because, I think about this and with my kids and playing it for my kids and everything and you know, all that.
It's a family hand. It's a hand you down thing. Absolutely. Yeah, my family too.
All the specials. All the Charlie Brown specials. There are every one of my kids saw them as a kid. Every one of them. And I imagine a lot of other families out there are similar. Well, did you know some of these facts, though, about the 1973 special?
Okay.
As usual with the Peanuts, no adults are shown. And yet, this was the first Peanuts special to have an adult voice.
Oh.
It was Vince Gagliardi singing the song Little Birdie.
That was him?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until this morning. Yeah. Vince is the jazz pianist, of course, that composed
all the music. Yep.
Mm-hmm. One of a lot of our favorite artists of all time. I just love his
work. If nothing else, I mean, sure, the stuff he did with Peanuts is iconic and we love it all. But man, some of his other stuff that he did, his actual jazz stuff. Yeah. Oh,
well, that's just
fantastic music.
Obviously, Linus and Lucy is one of my favorite instrumentals of all time, like many people out there.
Yep.
But you're so right, man. Like the man won Grammys for his own solo work and stuff.
Too,
and a really great, very important artist in jazz, really. So good.
I didn't even know he could sing.
I didn't either.
That's awesome.
I did not know that was him.
No.
I had no idea.
Oh, wow. I learned something today. That's awesome.
That is really, really cool.
Yep.
And it says something, everybody, for any new listeners out there. If Seth and I are just learning something, that's crazy.
That was obscure. We missed it somewhere.
Lucy is only in the opening scene.
That's right. She is.
Wow. Didn't even think of that.
Nope.
Didn't even think of that. Lucy's a big character, too.
She's a very big character.
Wow.
I think maybe because Peppermint Patty plays such a big role in it, I think they might have, we only need one strong woman in it or something that. I don't know.
They tended to do, especially when you had a bunch of male writers.
In the day, in the 70s. Yeah.
Basically anything from 1970 before, or right. 75 and before, that's pretty much what the writer's room.
Yeah.
The actors who voiced Lucy and Charlie Brown are still in touch. They went to high school together are still Facebook friends and hang out every once in a while.
Oh, I forget the name. Peter something is the name of the guy, the kid who did that. And I'm guessing that's because they grew up in Hollywood and stuff like that. So that's where they got the kid actors from. So
there's a spinoff inspired by Linus's speech about the Pilgrim's first Thanksgiving. It's called The Mayflower Voyagers from the This Is America Charlie Brown miniseries.
I have seen that. Yes. It's very good.
It's a fun series they did.
Yes.
And one of the producers had an issue with Woodstock committing bird cannibalism. But Charles Schulz insisted that Woodstock join Snoopy in carving and eating the turkey.
I totally forgot about that. Now, two different species of bird.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Get out of here. Yeah. It's not cannibalism.
No.
If he ate another, like, Tweety bird, then yeah.
Plus, we don't actually see, you know, him. It's one of my favorite scenes in animation history, the table and the food setup.
Yes.
And it's so old school animation. It's not like these things are drawn very well or anything.
No.
But that's the charm and the beauty of it.
Of hand-drawn cells, yeah. That's right.
The rest of my life, I'll picture the candy. And what was that candy that they put in there? They called it candy, but it didn't look like candy I'd ever
seen.
What
is that?
It's like,
Charlie Brown candy.
If I owned a candy company, I would make that candy.
He would call it Charlie Brown Thanksgiving candy what he would call it.
The producers sneakily edited out years later when CBS cut the special for Time, the scene of Woodstock being there when they cut that. But it was restored to its glory back in 2001 when the special moved to DC.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Calm down, everyone. Calm down.
You know, especially with cartoons and everything.
It's a cartoon. I mean,
sometimes you just got to let your imagination just be there.
You could see more objectionable things in a Tom and Jerry cartoon than you would in that. I mean, get out of here.
You think of the stuff we watch just in cartoons.
Seriously.
Back in the day. It's a classic for a reason. I hope everybody gets a chance to take in this amazing special this Thanksgiving, and everybody has a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We got some great stuff events going on next week we're going to be talking about in a little bit, and plenty more when we come back from our news, sports, and entertainment and partner break on The Morning Show.
Why do you fly upside down?
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Journalistic integrity here. I have rallied against the Finding Bigfoot crowd quite a bit. Now, that's only on like a TV level in that. And it's a lot of it is in jest because I don't begrudge anybody their entertainment. And I'm not talking about the people that watch these shows. People that watch these shows take this in, Bigfoot hunters or whatever terminology you want to use. Nothing against it. Live your life.
Right, exactly.
My frustration begins in more of the people that try to profit off those people.
There you go.
That's where my frustration is.
That's where the scams come in.
Yeah, I don't like people getting scammed on any level, even when it's something maybe we consider silly, but to them it means something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I'm not a fan of that kind of thing. I'm also frustrated just by what gets, you know, how a show like Finding Bigfoot could have six seasons and no evidence of Finding Bigfoot.
At all, ever.
Like, after season one, you know, you get seven episodes or whatever and you don't find Bigfoot, I'm sorry, man, you're canceled.
No,
you're canceled.
Sorry.
Like, come on. Well, you got a budget, you got everything. Come on. So a new report has ranked the places in America where you're statistically most likely to spot the Sasquatch himself, Bigfoot.
Okay.
And you need to be more remote than, say, downtown Indy. You know,
if he's shopping in downtown Indy, I mean, that would be something.
You ain't going to see him in West Chicago.
You're not going to be
seeing him there. To rank each state, they looked at reported Bigfoot sightings, forestry coverage, and the average temperature.
For some reason.
I don't know why they threw that in there. I don't know why they
did. He's got a big furry coat. He should be able to, you know, should be okay. Yeah.
There are no, quote, facts about Bigfoot. So where you would get, why would you think temperature would matter to Bigfoot? To me, Bigfoot don't matter. Don't matter. If I'm, you know, he's furry.
He can handle the cold.
He is literally a winter jacket. Like,
we've seen Harry and the Hendersons. We know how it works, right? Yeah.
The closest we have to documentation of Bigfoot we have in Harry and the Hendersons.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, don't get too close to him.
Yeah.
Don't form an emotional bond with him. It's going to end badly.
It always. You're going to have to get out of here.
John Lithgow is one of the better actors we've ever seen.
Right.
I don't know that there's been a bad performance I've ever seen by him, but one of it tells you how difficult of a scene it is, because it's one of the worst scenes I've ever seen in my life of him to get out of here. Get out of here. So bad.
It's fun,
and it pulls 100% at the heartstrings.
Yes, it sure does.
Here are the top 10 U.S. states and Canadian provinces where you're most likely
you
to see
include Canada. Yeah,
you're going to need a passport, everybody.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Washington at number one.
Yep, that's where most of the sightings have been. Isn't been Washington State? That is correct.
I love the idea.
Unless you count all the people in Congress in Washington, D.C. Hey-o!
I was going to do it. I was going to. It was. That's where I was going with it.
Sorry.
I love the idea of it. Washington, D.C. just.
He's a lobbyist, you know.
Bigfoot by a bunch of the flowers and the trees down there.
But bathing in the mirror pool.
Bigfoot taking a shot near the Lincoln Memorial.
A selfie. Yeah.
West Virginia. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's mountainous.
I mean,
it's
heavily wooded. Yeah. Oregon, number three.
Okay, right there with Washington, sure.
British Columbia, Canada, which is
again, you know, makes sense.
And now it gets a little more interesting. Michigan,
The UP would make sense.
Yeah,
that's very sparsely populated in that the UP, so that makes sense.
Maine.
Another heavily wooded, not very populated state. Okay, makes sense.
And Pennsylvania.
They must be talking about Western Pennsylvania on this one.
You gotta be, because
I don't know where else. Somewhere between Pittsburgh and on the East Coast.
Every state's got some forestry to it. Mm-hmm. I will say that New York and Pennsylvania are ones that are sneaky with that.
That's right.
I don't think a lot of people would think of the pines and some stuff in the Jersey area. You know, that kind of thing. So I could see that. Idaho.
Yeah. Right next to Washington State again.
Now, one thing we are pretty certain about with Bigfoot, loves potatoes. So that makes a lot of sense. I have no
idea. Poor Idaho. They've been trying to get away from that for so long, the potato thing.
Apologize to all Idahoans. Idahoans? I don't know.
Idahoans. Yeah. It should be Hoyans, yeah.
Ohio comes in at number nine.
See, now, Ohio makes less sense than, say, northern Wisconsin or even Minnesota.
Yeah.
That would make more sense to me than Ohio.
And Massachusetts. I guess.
I get that. Western Massachusetts, yeah.
I got to say, it does feel like they were trying to round out to 10. Like they just threw a couple in there. Like, I don't
know. There's like been one sighting in Massachusetts. Yeah. So I can throw it in there.
And here are the states and provinces where you're least likely to find Bigfoot.
Okay, jeez.
Here. I'm just going to throw that in there. Here. Like,
literally, wherever you are right now. Yeah.
Wherever you are, here. There. Or here or there. For this list, though, Quebec, Canada, north of Vermont, and New Hampshire.
They can't speak French. So the language barrier gets really hard when they go to Quebec, Montreal,
Bigfoot,
you know.
Just trying to get a ham sandwich, man. Just trying to get a sandwich. And it can't.
And they're correcting his pronunciation, and he just can't handle it, you know.
I do feel like because all the conversation of Bigfoot has to do with the America and everything, that he probably would speak English. I mean,
That's where he's been most of the time. Yeah. Or Western Canada, they speak English there, too. Yeah, so there you go.
Maryland. Yeah. I think there's some fun ones on this.
Not a Ravens fan. Not a Ravens fan.
Not a Maryland guy. Not a Maryland guy. And doesn't like crab cakes. At number three, I think the funniest one on the list may be Arizona.
There's no coverage.
If I'm Bigfoot and I'm in Arizona, I feel safe as all can be.
Really?
I am not worried about anybody taking pictures of me. Or they could literally pull out their phone and record me for 10 minutes on TikTok, and I'm not going to care because nobody's going to believe that you found Bigfoot in Arizona. Nobody will believe it. The person could be standing right next to you, and they will not believe you. But he's right there. I'm touching his fur right now.
Oh,
that's
my
not
gosh.
Bigfoot. There's no reason Bigfoot would be in Arizona.
That's why he vacations there.
Yes.
Is because you're right. No one would believe it.
Nobody.
They just see him, and now they've gotten used to it. It's like, oh, yeah, there's Bigfoot. Guy, look at he's so stuck up.
Nobody's going to believe it. It's like, oh, that's AI. Yeah. That's fake. Alberta, Canada comes in at number four.
Again, that's Alberta is more west, you know, of
Montreal. It's above Montreal or around Montreal?
No. Alberta is right next to BC.
Oh, yes.
British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would make sense because it's right next to British Columbia. Yeah.
Louisiana at number five.
Apparently, the quality of life is better in BC.
Apparently.
Than it is in Alberta.
Louisiana at number five. And I love Bigfoot with a Cajun accent.
Man, I'm telling you, those swamps. I know what it is. They've got their own legendary character.
Yes.
In the swamp, and they're like, get Bigfoot out of here. We don't want him here.
There's way too many cryptids.
We got like
over there
gator already. People yeah. and yeah. things, so no, we don't need any.
We're good, Bigfoot. We don't need any more cryptids.
Don't move here, okay?
I want for our sports fans out there, and if you don't know, look up the voice. I want the voice of Bigfoot to sound like Ed Orgeron, the old LSU coach. That's so bad.
He's in Washington, but for some reason has a Louisiana accent. Yes, I love that idea.
Manitoba, Canada comes in at number six.
See, I've been to Manitoba. Looks a lot like my home state of Minnesota, and central part of this continent, right?
It's right on the other side.
Winnipeg is not far from the border up that way. Huh. So, I mean.
That's cool.
That doesn't make any sense, though. I have been to Winnipeg. It's cool.
My dad's been there fishing with his. And they used to go on fishing trips when he was a kid up to Canada, and that's one of the spots they would go to. Indiana comes in at number seven.
Like you said, why does anyone go to Indiana? I'm sorry, Aaliyah. Sorry about that.
It does seem like a little Indiana. If I'm Bigfoot, I'm going to Erie, Indiana, because it's so on the nose. You know, and again, nobody's going to believe that I'd be in Erie, Indiana.
Wait, where are you? I'm in Erie. No, get out of here. There's no Bigfoot. That's someone in a costume.
Telling you, one of the most underrated TV shows in history.
Erie, Indiana was very good.
Such a great show. Mm-hmm. California at number eight.
Now, wait a minute. Northern California is very heavily wooded with giant trees.
And on the West Coast near Washington.
I'm telling
you,
why not California?
If you're
I don't know about this list, James.
Yeah, I don't either. Something
about this list does not ring true.
So think about what you just said, too, with the subject matter with what we're talking about. And you're so right. And you're right, too. I think Northern California, Bigfoot could make it. And, I mean, where else are you going to vacation if you're Bigfoot?
Right.
You can only... I mean, good luck getting a plane ticket. Good luck getting on the train. You're hoofing it. You're Bigfooting it. California's a lot closer to some of these other places.
He's big. He's got a decent stride. He can make a couple of, several miles a day, I think. Yeah.
I cannot imagine trying to buy a pair of shoes if you're Bigfoot. Like, I have size 12s, and it's difficult for me. I cannot imagine.
Oh, no. That's why they go barefoot.
Yeah.
You can't find shoes big enough. They even tried Shaq's guy that makes shoes for him, and still not good enough. Still not big enough.
At number nine, and 10, Alaska at number 9, which doesn't make a lot of...
That makes zero... Has the Yeti migrated to Alaska from the Himalayan mountains? Maybe it has, and it doesn't want, a Sasquatch to invade its territory, so... But I don't know.
Huh.
Can Yeti swim? I don't know.
What is the difference of a Yeti and Bigfoot?
Oh, okay.
A Yeti is a creature from Asian folklore, while Bigfoot is more of a North American folklore.
But they're basically the same. They're big, shaggy creatures. One has, more white fur because to blend in with the snow, the Himalayas, right? And one has like brownish whatever to blend in with the wooded areas of North America.
Just to try to get ahead of this before I get canceled, because I really need this job. I did not mean to assume that Yetis and Bigfoots, Sasquatches are the same.
That's the preferred.
I apologize. That's a blind spot on my part. I would like to apologize to all furry friend people. Am I calling the people or the animals? I don't know what a Bigfoot or a Yeti is. I don't want to.
They're panimals.
And I'm canceled. There we go.
To be fair to you, you've been using the correct terminology, okay? We've been calling him Bigfoot. Maybe we shouldn't do that. You said Sasquatch. That's more, abominable snowman. That's just mean.
That is a little mean. So Yeti is much better on that one. It's very assuming.
Abominable? That's not nice at all.
No, it's not very nice. You wouldn't want to be known as abominable Seth. That's not a great way to introduce yourself.
Who wants to be called that?
And Wyoming comes in at number 10. I would think that Wyoming would be a great spot.
There's like very lowly populated state. Wyoming has got one of the smallest that would make sense, especially if he wants to learn how to, rope and ride.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he could work on a ranch. I'd probably think he'd be good as a cowboy.
I want to see that movie, Sasquatch the Cowboy. I want to see that.
Yes. Sasquatch the Cowpoke.
With his best friend, Yeti.
That's the sequel.
Yeah. That's the sequel. We will come back and wrap up this show mercifully here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Well, Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Seth and James here to take you to the top of the hour. Great civic media programming coming up throughout the day for you. Thanks so much for joining us all week long. Appreciate all of our guests, all of our co-hosts, our producers, and of course, the best listeners in radio. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Encourage you to do a little more work. Get over to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Got a great addition there. I want to thank our team, and especially Melissa Kay, for the great work that she does on that.
Absolutely.
And a great opening article. Encourage you to grab it and check that out, everybody.
You're not going to find local news like that anywhere else.
And today's the day, everybody. It's our last day to accept recipes for our cookbook.
Okay. All right.
We are celebrating 85 years of great radio and great community partnership. And we want to do that with our one of our ways we're doing that is with this cookbook.
Yes, that's right.
Submit your recipes and get you and your family immortalized in our cookbook. And keep in mind, if your recipe is submitted, makes the submission, you'll get a free edition of the cookbook.
Free cookbooks? That's awesome.
Big, big time thank you to this community and everybody that has just flooded us with recipes. We want even more of them. Get them to us, everybody. Do that at WFHR.com. If you can't do it that way, reach out to us. We will get that recipe included in the book.
Yes, we will.
Big thank you again to everybody that's helped with this and who's already signed up for the newsletter. Get over to WFHR.com. Be like the cool kids and sign up for that newsletter. All the cool kids are doing it.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah, just telling you. I mean, if you don't want to be cool, that's fine, but just telling you.
It's an easy way to be cool, I'm telling you.
We got a great edition of the Rapid Support lined up for you today. Laura set up a great one for us to wrap up the week. In part one, we're going to talk to Miss Wisconsin Rapids. Madison Graff is going to be
very nice.
The newly crowned Madison Graff.
Catch up, see how she's doing,
We don't have this happen every year, but we got to interview Madison before her crowning, and now we get to after, and it's always fun to be able to do.
Yes,
it is. Looking forward. And Madison's awesome. She's a great kid. I'm looking forward to talking with her.
All the ladies that do this are just, they're remarkable kids.
They are so darn brave and awesome at this. I've been on a stage 1,000 times and I could never do what they do.
It's amazing.
I could never do it. And we'll wrap up the week of Rapids Report with our friends from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. A shout out to Meredith and the gang who set up an interview for us with Dave Kotz. Dave is with the Wisconsin Rapids Sports Commission.
Oh,
we're going to talk
excellent.
About the awards and that coming up and everything.
Oh my gosh, that's coming up. I forgot about that.
MVP awards coming up. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to an edition of Playmakers today from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Join Seth and I. We'll be taking your sports takes and feelings. Call in and join the conversation. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring that show for us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 4 to 5. Playmakers, where we speak sport.
Very nice.
A little bit later today, right here at WFHR, it's a puck night.
Oh, that's right.
Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Ohio State. It does not matter what the sport is. It's Wisconsin. It's Ohio State.
Big 10, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's
be a Big
good
Ten.
One.
I mean, real Big Ten. That's
what and good point. And if you haven't been paying attention, the Badger hockey team, first place in the Big Ten, everybody.
Yeah, they really took it to the Gophers the other weekend. So, yeah, they're looking pretty good right now.
Easily, if not the toughest, the second toughest division in all of college hockey.
Oh, it's got to be up there, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible looking at that Big Ten.
It's not the old WCHA.
Nice.
I'm not bitter about that at all.
You and my father, man, will die on that hill. You're so... Yep, no argument here.
Oh, anyway.
That's some good one. Of course, we'll have game two of that series tomorrow at 5:30 for you.
Very nice.
Before that, we got Badger football, 9 a.m. Badger football kicks off big pregame, taking on Indiana. Should be a good one. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, that will be a good game,
Also, Wisconsin women's basketball. Women's basketball at 1:40 right here at WFHR, hosting Green Bay. Always a good one there. Great weekend of sports for you,
absolutely,
everybody. And Seth, we got some other great stuff going on in the community.
We do. We have the Wisconsin Rapids Performing Arts Center is celebrating their 25th anniversary this weekend, everyone. They're having a special event down at the PAC. It's starting at 4 o'clock. They're going to have an open house in the lobby. Then there's going to be a presentation at 5 o'clock at the PAC. There's going to be guest speakers to tell stories of how the PAC impacted them and others. And then at 5:30, they're going to have a dinner at the LHS cafeteria. A food service, the school food service, will be serving a pasta bar. There's going to be pulled pork, salad bar, and many gourmet desserts. There'll be vegetarian and gluten-free options available. If you want to attend both the dinner and the show afterwards, it's $25 for the 25th anniversary. And the music will be provided by the Lincoln High School Orchestra Chamber Players. Very cool on that one. And then at 7 o'clock, they're going to be showing the one act that they entered, that Lincoln High School entered entered into the competition. They are going to state next week, everyone, at Stevens Point. So big congratulations to them. And then there was one, a spoof. And I did get to see this a little bit earlier. It is very, very funny. So make sure you check this one out, everyone. They are also going to have a performance this evening that's open to the public. And that is at 5:30 tonight for the one act. So if you're interested in just seeing the show, you can do that tonight as well. And then coming up on Wednesday, everyone, a annual tradition that we do around here over at Aspirus Health and their foundation, the Lights of Love. They've been doing that since 2001, and we've been joining them for many, many of those years. The broadcast itself is going to start at about 4:30 for that one, and we'll be broadcasting in and out through the ceremony, which starts at 5:30. Of course, we do encourage you to head there in person, but if you can't make it, listen to us right here on 97.5 FM or on the Civic Media app, and we'll be bringing you interviews with all kinds of people there. We'll be playing some Christmas music in between to get you in the mood for all the great holiday stuff coming up, so make sure you stay tuned this next Wednesday, the 19th, at 4:30 when we do the next Lights of Love broadcast.
I believe Beth is going to be emceeing that.
And Beth will be emceeing that one. Laura will be running the board. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, those two, you know it's going to sound good.
Yeah.
That's going to sound great. Shout out to both of them mm-hmm. for that. And be sure to join us for our Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market.
Yes.
It's back, everybody.
Woo.
9 to 1 over at 310 First Avenue South, right here in Rapids, the Moravian Church. This will run through mid-May, so keep that in mind, everybody, as you're making holiday plans or just looking for fun, different things.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, of course, supporting our vendors and our ag industry
yep.
out there. It is so wonderful to be able to continue our farmers markets into the colder months,
yep.
not only because of the produce and the different things that we get from there, but, of course, being able to truly buy local support our good people out there.
They got pies for sale. That's all I need to say. There's a bakery that's got pies there.
I should have
there.
Just said that.
They got pies.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
why would you want a pie?
Enough said.
Yeah. First 2 weeks have been great. It's been hopping down there.
Good to hear. Great show today, Seth.
You too.
Be good to each other out there. Have a great weekend.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.